Anybody not get a map? A new map? Wes went to make a couple more copies, but I think that might be everybody. Okay. So to get started tonight, so this is a slide that I showed last time to kind of show where we've been and where we're going. Really, the only addition on this tonight is that we covered Genesis and the patriarchs on the last class. And I'm going to continue with these summary lessons. Again, there's 10 of these lessons. You don't have to worry. I'm not doing all 10 of those. Scott's going to be doing about half of those. So he'll be coming up a little bit later with one of the Divided Kingdom classes, and then also all the New Testament classes that we'll be doing. So a couple things, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time, but I talked about some of the resources that we're using here. Tamman mentioned that to you before in one of his classes. And so Wes is back there with more copies. And if anybody needs a map, raise your hand if you do. Anybody didn't get one. So mentioned about the Scott Richardson maps, the maps like this that you see. So mentioned about that being on the website. And, of course, they're behind the members login. So, the Eastside members can take that and use that for your classes. The Satellite Bible Atlas maps that I've been using that I talk a lot about and that you see. That is a paid-for product. So, you can pull these PowerPoints down and use them if you want to and the content out of them. But if you're going to use the Satellite Bible Atlas stuff, that's something you'll need to purchase to use. Highly recommend it. But everything else, all the other pictures, and sometimes you can't see it because the font's kind of small, but if you do pull these presentations down, I've got the web links listed for where they're at and the sites for them. So you can just pull it right out of the PowerPoint or go to the site directly. And then all the pictures you see are actually mine and Rebecca's pictures, so you're welcome to use those as well. Okay, so starting off last time, something we had said that there's not a lot of really specific places that we're hitting with last class. General areas that we talked about in general regions, Tigris, Euphrates, Land of Shinar, things like that. So we're hitting some general locations like that, but nothing super, super specific, except we did hit Shechem in the last class. And something that Jason had mentioned earlier to me was that I may have had Shechem on one of the maps a little bit out of place. I think it was a place just a little bit high. And but Shechem, so if you're coming Jordan River, it really is about center, and it's also about center over between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. So if I was off a little bit on that, just be aware of that. So, but that's one of the places that we talked about last time. And of course, we Abraham comes into the land, hits at Shechem. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stuff going on inside the land of Israel. We get down into Egypt, and that's where we left off with the patriarchs. Joseph at the end with getting us down into Egypt. So if we look at what I typically call the New Testament map, not using it for New Testament tonight, but we go from here and we're over and we're in the land of Egypt there. And we're going to be coming back out of the land of Egypt tonight. So our timeline slides that we've been using since the timeline lecture and sprinkled in these classes too. So if you're looking at Bible events from say 1500 to 1000 BC, it's things like what we're talking about tonight, the Exodus from Egypt, invasion and conquest. And so it's really just that first one that we'll be hitting tonight from this list. But invasion and conquest, the Judges, the beginnings at least of the United Kingdom down to about 1000 BC. And then there's those world events that would hit at this time as well. So you got the Hyksos present in Egypt. You got minor Assyrian kingdoms that are prominent over in Mesopotamia that will become much more prominent in the next couple of classes. And then some other names that you'll see in the Bible as well, Tyre, Hiram, names that you'll recognize. And same text on this slide, but just another image for the general region. And of course, these kingdoms will be more back in the, say, the 1500 time frame. So Mitanni kingdom here, Babylon there. And of course, Egypt is, you know, one of the key ones that we'll be talking about tonight. And so also, like with last class and a similar slide with this for Genesis, talking about some of the concepts and the messages. And so, you know, this is the things that you'll take the time as you go through this in a quarter class and cover these, concepts and messages. And so just a few of these I want us to think about as we're going through this tonight is what are some of these narratives and stories doing? So, you know, one thing that it's doing with the Exodus is it's showing that God can and does deliver Israel when they need it. And of course, in this case, it's with a chosen individual, with Moses, with the Exodus. Shows that God is all-powerful is another message we can see through this. The 10 plagues. What more could you ask for a show of God's power than the plagues and how those play out? Also that, the way I thought about this is that God, he has a plan for his people, but he has it at multiple levels. And so whether you're thinking about this big overarching picture of the Bible story that we're talking about, if you're talking about a particular period like the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness like we're talking about tonight, or if you're talking about smaller and particular events or people, it can and does all feed back into the big picture. But just that awareness and thought that, you know, God has a plan for his people, whether it's the big things and the big storyline items we're talking about, or the small and the little things. He is in control and has a plan. And I do say that in the top part of that first point there, that these narratives, you know, think about this. These narratives are forming the foundations for Israel with God and how they interact together. And it's with, you know, some of these larger messages that we think of that. And then the narratives to come that sets up how Israel operates. So, you know, we've been talking about the promises that have already been mentioned and re-mentioned to the patriarchs. But then you also have covenant and law, the law that will be given at Sinai. You have that set up. You have the tabernacle instructions that are also given in this time period as well. And the tabernacle being God's dwelling place when he is with his people on the ground. You have the priesthood also that is initiated during this time period. And then things like were the spies. So the spies, you know, they set us up for the wandering in the wilderness that is to come. So just looking at some of these narratives and thoughts and the content of it, that, what it's covering in Exodus and in these time periods that we're covering. So, and then we actually get into the actual events for this period. So we have Israel in bondage. So when we left off at the end of Genesis, and we have Israel, the people of Israel moving down into Egypt. When we start off with the Exodus, things are different. So we're listed with the people who came into Egypt. But, you know, when we open up with Exodus, Israel is they're in bondage in Egypt. And, you know, the first few verses in Exodus, what is it said about the new king or the new Pharaoh and his relationship with Israel? Didn't know Joseph, so he didn't know them, wasn't familiar with them, and so that caused some fear on his part. And what was that fear? If a certain thing happened, what would all these people do? Something pretty specific he mentions. If there's war, what's going to happen? You got all these foreigners in the land, and they may turn against us. So that's where we start off with this. And of course, then you have Moses, who's going to be the deliverer here in this case. He is born, story of him being born. Then we go through him being rejected, him fleeing into the wilderness, to the land of Midian. He finds a wife there as well. Then God speaking to Moses in the burning bush. Had the 10 plagues, again, that big event there that certainly shows God's power. And crossing of the Red Sea, another one showing his power, and Mount Sinai. And so that's where, again, covenant and law, tabernacle, priesthood, those things we just mentioned that are all going to be brought into the storyline there. But then when we leave from Sinai and try to go into the land, journey to Kadesh Barnea, the spies, and of course then we stop there and have the wandering in the wilderness. And this level of detail also puts, and it's obvious that we're putting the scriptures with that. So starting in Exodus 1, and this storyline takes us down through Numbers 14. And so, as I mentioned too, just a little bit ago, so with these events, so this is still more the concept of what's going on in regions, large regions. So we're getting down into Egypt, back out of Egypt. There's some specific locations that are mentioned, like in particular on the Exodus route coming out of Egypt. But a lot of those locations, we have them named, but we don't actually know exactly where they are. So you can do some place name studies. You can do some studies with historical geography, some textual analysis with the Bible itself and other ancient source documents if you have them. And you can incorporate some of these things together and figure out rough areas for some of these sites. And some of the next couple of classes to come, we are going to talk about specific locations that you can pinpoint, like with United Kingdom and Divided Kingdom. But just the point here is that, not to be so concerned with some of these specific locations because we really just don't know exactly where they are, general ones that we do. But it's the regions that are critical in the order in which things happen with the storyline. And so this is also just another map to look at. And I don't think I've used one of these yet, but this is, I think one of the elevation profiles we used early in the first couple of classes was a Manna. This is called Manna Maps, BibleMaps.com. It's another paid-for product, but it's a good map and good representation of what we're doing tonight as well. Okay, so the map exercise for tonight, if you would like to do it, we're going to list off some of these places here. And so again, most of this is either region areas. There is one specific city on here, but it's going to be associated with the region as well. So if you want to do this exercise, we'll start off labeling the Nile Delta. And Jeff and Judith pointed out that when I handed out these maps, it didn't have anything on them. At least I don't do what Tim does and make you draw it all from your mind, right? So I'm trying to help you out a little bit there. So Nile Delta, pretty obvious one. Most people are going to know that one. And then the Nile River itself. So that's the first two main points we'll hit. And then once you have that, land of Goshen. And it'll be just kind of to the lower left, right side of the Nile Delta. And then Mount Sinai, the Sinai area, and Mount Sinai. Traditional location is placed right there. Probably the most, one of the more logical locations for where it would actually be. And so we're also going to list two wilderness areas. That's what the W dot stands for, Wilderness of Paran. It's going to be there in that area. Wilderness of Zin is going to be roughly in the same area, just a little bit more north and over. It's also the land of Midian. So sometimes you'll see this on both sides of the Red Sea finger there, the Gulf of Aqaba. So it's Gulf of Aqaba, Gulf of Suez. Midian, you'll often see it here, and sometimes you'll see it labeled there as well. Probably the whole area. Of course, an easy one is the Red Sea. Kadesh Barnea, another one of those where there's a traditional site for it. Pretty good chance it's in that area, that location. But certainly in that area in general there where the arrow is. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, wilderness of Zin is going to be more like that. It would be in that area, I guess, a little more to the right. Whereas the wilderness of Paran is more this area, going down a little bit as well. And then Negev is going to be more just over from the skinny part of the Dead Sea there. More or less that whole area where Beersheba is located. And these last two go together. So Moab is just the area between the two rivers there, the Arnon and the Zered. Bozrah, so if you want to label Bozrah there, that's where the city point would be. It is a known location. And then Moab, you can just label maybe a little bit above it or over, but it's that whole area there. And you'll see as we progress through some of this why I'm putting some of these points on the map. Okay, so all of this is so a map for the wandering and the three invasion and conquest steps that will be taken toward the end of this one. And so all of these maps are leading us to a series of photos that I'm going to show you that are going to represent areas that the Israelites would have went through. Again, not very specific paths, but certainly general areas, like these wilderness areas that they would have been in or going through or wandering around. So where we're going to be going with this series of pictures, so we're going to start off in the Mount Sinai area. So first photo is going to be from down, from a spot down in this area. But as we continue, so Wilderness of Zin area, of course you can see that label there on the map. I don't think I have any directly for the Wilderness of Paran, but I have some that's fairly close to it. And then going to have some photos in the Negev as well. Some more, actually, be the southern Negev area. More about right in there. And then we're going to cross over the Jordan, and Bozrah is, and you probably can't see it at all from the middle or back, but that's the name of it, and the dot for the city is right there. So it's a little bit south of the Dead Sea and over there as you marked it on your map. So we're going to kind of have a progression that'll go through that way. So first we're going to start Mount Sinai area. So looks and feels similar to some of the photos that we're going to see in some of the wilderness areas up closer to Israel, but this is different. It is more rugged terrain, higher mountain areas. There is some vegetation in the area. As you can see, there's some green palm trees there. But this down at the traditional site of Mount Sinai. And so probably one of the most logical places for it. And we'll have another couple of photos here in a moment. So, what you could have here is, Israel passing through this region and other caravans and things like that. But you think about the people of Israel that would have come through here and the numbers that they were, and what we're told in the scripture of how they had to be supported with food and water. So you can think about that as they would be moving through this area and being in this area for a while they were at Sinai. So this is a Greek Orthodox monastery. So a lot of times with places like this, when you get a tradition attached to two spots, you have religious sites that pop up at the places. So this is a Greek Orthodox monastery, Eastern Orthodox monastery. And it's down at the, so the area looks similar, similar rocks in the area. And, but this is at the mouth of a gorge, and it's near the town of St. Catherine in Egypt. And this is the monastery's name after Catherine of Alexandria. And so the reason I'm showing you this is because, so it has the monastery and the walls there, has a garden outside. So this is one of the trees or bushes in the garden. Anybody want to take a guess as to what this bush is or what it's supposed to be? It's your burning bush, right? So it's your traditional burning bush. But if you notice, they're going to make sure this bush doesn't burn. Got a fire extinguisher there. So I couldn't resist showing you that. So down in the Sinai, but when we complete the Exodus and we're coming up out of Egypt, going here to Sinai, and then we're going to Kadesh Barnea. Okay, so this is a site, and or not a specific site. It's called the Cistern Hike. It's in one of the national parks in Israel, and there's a hike that takes you along multiple cisterns that are around in this area, where water is collected when it rains. But just wanted you to get a sense and feel for what it looks like. So this will be southern Negev area, again, Kadesh Barnea kind of area. You can actually see there's the pit where one cistern is, reinforced with rocks. Obviously, humans have reinforced it with rocks. And then lots of animal tracks there for where they'll go get water when it's there, has water in it. So this would be maybe kind of a halfway between the wilderness of Paran and the wilderness of Zin. And so that's kind of a feel for what that area would look like. So we're kind of coming, we're at Kadesh Barnea, down a little bit, wilderness of Paran and Zin. And then we're going to keep going over to Bozra that we mentioned earlier. And so this is what Bozra looks like. And we'll step back through this again with another map in a moment. But this is Bozra looking west, so looking toward the Dead Sea area. Yeah, so that'd be from Bozra. So they're looking, of course, below the Dead Sea, but looking toward the Jordan Valley and to the west. So one of the things that I was kind of wanting to point out here as well is that, so we're dealing with in Kadesh Barnea, so it's a border area. So think about it. They didn't go into the land and send spies out. They stopped outside the land at Kadesh Barnea and sent spies in. So it's interesting that this is actually some kind of a border area today. So some of the overlay with this map is vegetation. And you can see, you may not be able to see if the color's washed out much, but if it was on a smaller screen, you could see a line right there. There are a number of lines like that around Israel in desert areas where at border areas, just where the land is managed a little bit differently on different sides of the border, you can actually see lines that appear on maps like this. And so Kadesh Barnea being right there, so you can kind of see how even today, and that's roughly the modern-day border of Egypt there. Well, know this because when we went on the cistern hike and got some of those photos that you saw earlier, we ran into a restricted military area. And so this says, if you can't read it, mortal danger, restricted military area, entry is forbidden. Persons who are entering, or I think it just says persons who enters this area or this zone, endangers their life. So we did not go past these markers, but what's a little weird about this is, so it's in Hebrew, it's in Arabic, and it's in English. Whoever's doing the stencil in Arabic did a little heavy on the red paint, so it looks like blood dripping, like there's a sacrifice been offered on this rock. So that was just a little bit scary as well. So, but it worked. We didn't go past this. And also camels in the area. So, I've tried to point out some of the wildlife too as we went through these pictures. And so camels are in the area, and there's one of them right there. He could be one of the border guards as well. I'm not sure. He could be working with the Israeli Defense Forces. But I think he's talking about them being near the road, right, so you don't hit them with your car. And then also sheep in the area as well. Now, these are sheep on the range. And when I say sheep on the range, like the, where'd it go? On the firing range, those are targets. So this is also Israeli Defense Force firing range. And so we tried to tell the sheep about it. He was a little curious, but the rest of them didn't really listen. And so, jokes aside about this, I was wanting you to see, just, still get a feel for what it looks like and feels like. So still in this Kadesh Barnea area. And so that's, this is what it looks like on the ground. Picture with a camel in the background, so you've got some scrub and brush. So, you're going to have a little bit of moisture, water in the area. And, you know, one thing about this is that if you go 50 miles in any direction, the landscape is going to change. If you go 100 miles in any direction, it's really going to change. And that's one thing that we're just, you know, we're just not used to in the area where we live, because we can go miles. And, you know, you may get up into some more rolling hills in Tennessee, or as you get toward Birmingham, or as you go down toward Auburn, you may get to the plains. But you're covering a lot of distance to do that in Israel and in the areas around. You know, in some areas, if you go into the desert, it will be desert for miles. But if you're thinking about land of Israel, you're thinking about Beersheba to Dan. Dan is very different in the north. It's very green. Of course, Dan located on the Jordan River, so obviously it's going to be green. But just in general, in the Galilee area, it's going to be more, you know, green and a lot more vegetation. Okay, but where are we going with this? So we're about to wander now. And putting more scriptures with these events. So we're going Numbers 15 to Joshua 3. And so as we work down through this list, so you'll see stories that you recognize, and as you're going through these over a whole quarter, so you know you're going to be covering a lot of these in a class or two. But had the rebellion, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Number 16, Aaron's rod budding, Miriam dies, Moses and Aaron's, their sins. Passing by and not through Edom. So that's as we're starting to come around up to set up for the invasion and conquest. So Aaron dying, fiery serpents, and even more as we set up for invasion and conquest, conquering Sihon, conquering Og, story of Balaam, Israel interacting with the Midianites, the vengeance on the Midianites. And then as we get down closer to the end, and in Deuteronomy as well, the speeches, Moses' death, and then Joshua leading Israel. So Joshua had been in the background up to this point, but he will become one of the leaders of Israel. And then we're setting up for crossing the Jordan. So as we move into the wandering, we're going to hit some photos and videos of these wilderness areas. And so the first one is going to be, of course, just showing that again for Kadesh Barnea area. But this is the first photo of the wilderness of Zin. And so when you're in this area, so all of the wilderness of Zin doesn't look like this. It's not all just a canyon, a big wadi where water has cut this down over time. And you'll see this in some photos and videos in a moment. But this is a very good shot of one of the main wadis in the wilderness of Zin. And this is a shot from a trail down inside the wadi. And give you a sense for the size of this. And so this is just a short video of just walking through and looking up and around. Okay, and this is just a still photo a little bit further along this trail. And so there are flat areas here where people are walking. That's people right there, very small people. And we're on a trail on this right side, very similar. But it keeps going on down pretty deep, and there's water, water there at the bottom. And about to show a video in just a moment that's just a little bit more around this curve here. Oh, and this is a shot, so have walked up some, turned around and looking back, and you can actually see the water down there in the bottom. Those are the trails on the side, person there. Okay, what I want to show with this video, and Jeremy, if we can try to do that like we talked about. So Jeremy's going to try to run this video into about 5 seconds of it, and there's something I want you to see right there. Okay, that's good. All right, so what I'm going to show you with this is that, you know, you're traveling through this, you come up to this this wadi to cross. And so there could be, and there are currently trails through there. And so you can see a group of people going up a trail that's been cut. Get up to this point right here, and that right there is actually a ladder. So it's a metal ladder that the Israeli Parks Authority, you know, with maintaining the trails, have put that you can climb up. When you climb up to the top of this, there's a parking lot up there. But just wanted you to get a sense for, you know, if you were actually having to go through this, travel through it, what it would be like to have to go through it and up it. And of course, right here, you're going to have to rock climb or find an actual path to get up it. Okay, you can go ahead and play the rest of that. Oh, yeah, so a neat point, too. So these people that are in front, you're going to see them turn around in just a minute. Reason they're turning around because the guy that's with their group is way behind. But they could actually hear him because of the walls. That's him right there. So this guy was hollering at him up there. So just kind of interesting to think about how you could still hear and see people that far away in here. Okay, and so, and this is a video from the, so this is after you get up to the top, and this is what I was saying earlier, where, you know, it's not all just a big canyon in the wilderness of Zin. But it, you know, it's flat. So, I mean, there's an area up top where you can walk around, but this is something you could or would have to cross. And I think this is about to zoom in down on the bottom, get another perspective for how deep it is. People right there. Signs saying, do not walk along that ledge. Okay. Ibex. So think about ibex as being the deer of Israel. And as I mentioned before, too, that it's kind of hard to, when, you know, going through photos trying to pick out stuff. When you have Rebecca running the camera, ibex. Oh, canyon walls, ibex. Or birds, bird. If you're in cities like Jerusalem, cat. So had to pick through a lot of photos like that. But just showing, you know, the wildlife that would be, some of the wildlife that would be in the area. And so this is actually, this was down where you could see that water at the bottom of this wadi. That's why it's kind of dark, because, you know, not much sunlight down there. Okay, and so with this, moving into the conquest. So, you know, most all of that would be for a context and to get a feel for when the Israelites are wandering around in the wilderness area, that's some of the areas that they would have been walking through, what it would have looked like, what it would have felt like. But, you know, most of that is on the top side of this list. Get down to the bottom side of this list, and you're starting to come up and around the Dead Sea. And so with that, Bozrah, the city that we mentioned, and then there's a city, and so the place is called Karak Castle, which is, this is a later history period thing. But when you go to this place, it gives really good views of the plains of Moab, and it's going to be located right about in there. So it's not Bozrah. Bozrah is there. This other place I'm talking about will be right there. So now this is Bozrah, and so this is a shot. This is just showing how it's kind of on an outcrop, showing elevation, and that is that outcrop there. But when you're up on the top of that, there's one of the pictures that we showed earlier where you're looking from Bozrah to the west. So when you think about these strategic locations like this, if you're either in control of this spot or you're trying to come through this area, if you're trying to come through this area and somebody's on this spot, they're going to be able to see you. If you're in control and you're on the spot, you can see who's coming through the area. So that's why, you know, some of these points we're showing are so such critical locations. And then this is a shot of that I was talking about from Karak Castle. So this is just a little bit more north and to the east of the Dead Sea. And this is a shot of what the plains of Moab would look like and looking back toward the Dead Sea area. And so that begins to set us up for where we will continue going north, conquering Sihon, conquering Og, and then eventually getting set up for the invasion and conquest where we'll come across at Jericho in the next class. And so so where this gets us is toward the end of the Exodus. So so we've spied out the land also at this point, wandering in the wilderness. And, you know, so with the story of the spies, there were only two that said they could take it. And that's what set us up for the wandering in the wilderness. And that's all I have for tonight. So that's it.